Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verses 2 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Gracious God, illumine our hearts and minds as the scriptures are read and proclaimed, so that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may see what is good and right and true. And help us to do what is pleasing to you, so that your glory becomes visible in our words and deeds. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. Well, our gospel lesson today places before us a claim of unfair labor practices. This story of a man who paid those who worked an hour the same amount as those who worked the whole day is troubling for us in today's culture. Just as we heard our youth this morning, they said it wasn't fair. Scholars have determined that farm workers at the time of Jesus were rather downtrodden people within that population. They were largely landless peasants, and without property, they were dependent on someone else to provide them with work. And it's another way of saying it was a way of providing them a chance to feed their family. When Jesus taught us how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, it says, Give us this day our daily bread. He understood the cruel reality that for many people, no daily work meant no daily bread. In Jesus' day, it would have been common for people to line up every morning in anticipation that someone would hire them to work. Obviously, the young and the strong would have the advantage of being chosen first. Others would wait and hope that someone would need them. And canceling out the willingness of those waiting was the cruel reality of supply and demand. The people needing work invariably exceeded the jobs that the landowners had, and so there were those who would find no work for the day. Now, this challenge of work and daily bread is the context in which Jesus told the parable that is at the heart of our gospel lesson for today. This is a brilliant story that both intrigues and disturbs us. Someone has said that this parable is like taking cod liver oil. You know it must do some good, and Jesus is probably right, but it's awfully hard to swallow. In a way, the parable forms a perfect bookend with the parable of the prodigal son. Both stories lift up for us a form of radical forgiveness that seems to reward the ones who have done the least, while those who have been the most faithful and worked the hardest are sent to the end of the line. A good way of understanding this difficult Bible passage is to consider the context in which we find the parable. It is immediately before this parable is told that Peter asks Jesus a question. Peter said, We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? So even one of Jesus' greatest disciples was saying, You know, we left everything for you. What will there be for us? And it is in that context that Jesus begins to tell this parable. Peter had asked Jesus what the disciples would receive as a reward for all they had sacrificed in order to be his followers. And now, following this passage, is also the story of where the mother of James and John came to Jesus and requested that Jesus give her sons thrones of honor when they came into his kingdom. And so we see that here in the midst of our humanness, in the midst of Peter asking, what is it that we will receive for giving up everything? And then the mother of Mary and John, of James and John, the mother of James and John saying to Jesus, you know, which will sit on your right and which will sit on your left? Thinking in terms of our human kingdom and not understanding what Jesus was saying about the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of God, things are not the way that we might expect. Jesus' parable reveals to us a most unusual employer, a man who wanted to see everyone receive what was needed, what we might call enough. The issue of how we define enough has always fascinated me, and it's more and more so in the world we live in today. It's obvious that there are some in our world for which there is no vessel large enough to contain enough for them. The employer in Jesus' story hired workers at dawn for what they agreed was a fair wage, and then he kept on hiring more workers all day long, and at the end of the day, he paid them all the same. The ones who had labored the entire day, instead of feeling joyful that they had work and that they could feed their families, they were furious because everybody got as much as they did. The workers who labored the longest cried, "This is unfair. Where is the justice?" Now the vineyard owner tried to make it clear that this was not about the worth of the workers, but about his desire to be generous. Not about justice, but about love. But the landowner did not seem to convince anyone, except the people hired in the last hour who were thrilled by his generosity. Now certainly our gospel lesson is one of the most perplexing of Jesus' parables. How easy it is for us to identify with the moaning workers who labored from sunrise to sunset, absorbing the heat of the day, only to observe in amazement that those who logged in at the last hour were paid the same. It's not fair. But thank goodness God is not fair in that frame of reference. I shudder to think of what it would mean for you and me if God dealt with us precisely the way we deserve. Personally, I am comforted to know that the God who rules heaven and earth is a God of love and mercy, and not simply the God of justice. The parable of the workers in the vineyard challenges us to think about how we reflect upon our lives. Do we count our blessings? Or do we tabulate our disappointments? Are we motivated by gratitude, or are we motivated by envy? Do we see the glass of life half full, or do we see it half empty? I hope you can see how important this is, for we cannot live our lives partially grateful and partially resentful. One will win out over the other. What we have in our gospel lesson is every bit as much a parable of judgment as it is a parable of grace. And let me explain that. It is a parable of grace because it offers life and hope to those who are filled with despair, those who feel they are outside the joy of God's love. But it is also clearly a word of judgment against any of us who object to God's indiscriminate generosity. And finally, I think we must realize that this parable goes beyond the simple categories of love and justice. It also really is about relationship. When we are in a proper relationship with God and with others, we do not have to count everything. We do not have to maintain a list of grievances, preserving in memory each disappointment or hurt. Jesus told this parable because he wanted his listeners to focus on the generosity of the landowner. All he cared about was that everyone got what was needed. In the parable, each worker gives what he is asked to give in labor, and each receives what is needed to survive. Clearly, in God's kingdom, compassion and sharing will reign supreme, and no one will lack the necessities of life. So let us remember, God is not fair, not in the way we normally think about fairness, but rather God is loving and generous. God does not treat us in the way we deserve. God blesses us and forgives us. He lifts us up and restores us. For at the end of the day, it is God's hope that we all will remain in community with him and with one another. And may God bless us to that end. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of life, you call us to prepare the way for your reign by bearing fruit worthy of repentance. You lift us a vision before us of a world that is shared and fair, where needs are met and no one is outcast. Baptize us fresh in your Spirit, we pray. And we know you are in our midst now, and please renew us in your love, Lord. We bow before you in humility, knowing that we are needy in so many ways. Sometimes we think we can provide for all of our needs, but we always find ourselves coming back to you. And thank you for reminding us that you receive joy from being our God, and all you ask in return is that we believe in you and that we love you. Help us to never forget and to never take for granted the suffering endured by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can be a part of your kingdom, both on earth and in heaven. Give us opportunities, Lord, to share your love with others and to show compassion and tolerance. If we meet those who do not believe in you, may our example be an image of Christ in their eyes. Today we thank you for times of joy. But Lord, we know that there are some of us who are having problems and sadness, and we cannot seem to handle them on our own. We pray for those who are sick, who face treatment, and those who face uncertainty, Lord. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for those who need the comfort of hope through our faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for drawing us close to you. We are grateful for your comfort and peace. We come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.